The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 19 on our series of the book of Revelation. This message is called Identifying the Beast. In these next two messages, we will study the beast, and we will look at Revelation chapter 13. Let's read Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 10, and then verses 14 to 18. First of all, then, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all those whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword, with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Now I'll go down to verse 14, and about halfway through verse 14 we read, "He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand and on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Revelation chapters 10, 11, and 12 shows us the church and Israel and their rise to power and their anointing in the Holy Spirit during the time of the Great Tribulation. Now, this next chapter, chapter 13, gives us a glimpse of Satan's army. In it, we are introduced to the beast and the false prophet, and we discover the power grid of demonic angels. In this study, we will identify the beast. In accordance with God's plan, the beast will emerge at the midpoint, halfway through the Great Tribulation. And he will have a power that will be given him for 42 months, 3.5 years, for the remainder of the great tribulation period. His end will come when Jesus himself comes to earth. The second coming of the Lord is the time when the beast, the Antichrist, will be destroyed and thrown into hell. Now, for centuries, people have assigned the identity of the beast to one individual or another. In the Dark Ages, there were some very wicked Catholic priests. And many believers think that one of those Catholic priests was the Antichrist. In more contemporary times, people have looked at individuals like Hitler or Stalin and said they were the Antichrist. Down through the ages, many evil men have manifested the spirit of Antichrist. But until now, the beast, the Antichrist, has not emerged. If we look into the book of 1 John, the epistle of John, we find that there are many antichrists in the world. It says, dear children, this is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many antichrists have come. That is how we know it is the last hour. Even from the time of the New Testament, there have been many antichrists on the scene. John speaks about it extensively. He says the spirit of Antichrist is in this person and this person and this person. But the Antichrist has not yet come. I have great respect for many teachers in the body of Christ who teach on the book of Revelation. Some of them suggest that this beast or Antichrist will soon arise from one group of people or another. I have a different perspective. I do not believe that the beast is a man at all. I don't believe that the Antichrist is a human being. Although he will have great influence and control the minds of many individuals, powerful men and women will distinguish themselves as champions of his evil cause. It's for sure that they will move in the power of the Antichrist. That Antichrist spirit will be inside of them. But the beast is introduced to us as an evil spirit and a fallen angel. He has an extensive army of demons and angels under his command. His army has been at work influencing mankind since the beginning of the world. But the beast himself has been restrained, has been in chains for thousands of years. John wrote, "And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns." Notice he has 10 horns and 7 heads. This speaks of his government, which we will look at a little later. We read also in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 4 that the whole world will be astonished and they will follow the beast. Men worship the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worship the beast and said, "Who is like the beast?" In Revelation 13:8, it says, "All the inhabitants of the earth will worship him, the beast, except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." But notice now in Revelation 17, chapter 17, which we haven't yet come to, but verse 7 and 8 there say, "The beast, which has 7 heads and 10 horns, the beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss, So here in Revelation 13:1, we find out that this beast had 10 horns and 7 heads. Here we find that this same beast, which has 7 heads and 10 horns, is one that has come up out of the abyss. We know who came out of the abyss. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, we studied about him. It says they had a king over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon and in Greek Apollyon. All of these scriptures refer to the same beast. The beast is Apollyon, which means destroyer. He will come from the abyss where he has been restrained. If we look at Revelation chapter 17 again in verse 11, it says the beast who once was and now is not is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven, that is the seven kings, and is going to his destruction. If we connect the facts from these verses, this is what we discover. The beast or Antichrist is actually a fallen angel. He's an evil spirit. He's the beast that comes up out of the abyss named Apollyon. Third, he was on earth during the early days of early man because the scripture says in several places he was. But fourth thing that we're looking at here says that he was restrained for thousands of years, including the days of the early disciples, because John was told he is not now. He was, but he is not now. But then we discover that he will be released for the last half of the great tribulation, because it says he yet will be. So a human being cannot be somebody who was alive in ancient times, has been restrained for thousands of years, and then all of a sudden released halfway through the great tribulation period. Only a spirit, like a fallen angel, can have that kind of long life. He is a king with the other fallen angels. He is an eighth king together with the seven. And everybody on the earth will worship him. Now, to further bring this point to bear, Revelation 17 gives more insight to help us determine the identity of the beast. He is identified as Apollyon. He has 7 heads, 10 horns, and he comes from the abyss. He has been restrained. He was, now is not, and yet will come, John says. This confirms that the beast, the Antichrist, is an evil spirit, not a man. Only a spirit can come up out of the abyss. Only a spirit can say that he was, now is not, and yet will be. Now come with me up to Revelation 17 and verse 7 and 8. I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and the beast she rides. This is the same beast, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, now is not, and yet will come. It's amazing that this phrase, he once was, now is not, and yet will come, is repeated over and over and over again. We see the same thing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the first 10 verses. I'm going to read these verses to you because this is part of Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, and they're concerned that the Lord was going to come, that the second coming of the Lord will take place. But he tells them this second coming of the Lord hasn't taken place yet. Let me tell you that the Lord will not come until the beast, the son of perdition, the lawless one, the Antichrist, those are all names for him, until he is revealed. And so this is another indication to us that tells us that the second coming of the Lord happens at the end of the book of Revelation, because the beast is not revealed until the halfway point. Now look what it says. Let's read these verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, do not become easily upset or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord had already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness, the Antichrist spirit, in other words, is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will come to do so till he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. So this is an amazing revelation, isn't it? That Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, don't think that the Lord's coming has already taken place and you missed it. He says, because the Lord won't come until after the Antichrist is revealed. Then he says, remember I told you about this Antichrist. This Antichrist has been held back. He once was, but he is being restrained. And the one who is restraining him will step out of the way. And at the appointed time, he will be released. In other words, he was, but he is not now, but he will be. Just like the book of Revelation says. And then he says, he will cause the world to worship him. He will, you know, act like God in the temple. And then the scripture says, the Lord will destroy him when he comes. So people who think that the Lord's coming at the, you know, will come at the beginning of the tribulation period, it's completely out of place and contrary to the scriptures. Because the scriptures make it very clear that when the Lord comes, he will destroy. And he's talking about the second coming of the Lord. Remember that. He says, don't think that the second coming of the Lord has taken place, because these other things have to happen. This Antichrist must be revealed. And then at the end of the scripture in 2 Thessalonians, he says, and when the Lord does come, he will overthrow this evil Antichrist by the splendor of his coming. He will destroy him. And that's exactly what we see in Revelation chapter 19. When the Lord comes, the first thing he does is to destroy the Antichrist, the beast, this Apollyon. Now, let me give more details about who he is. I believe that this Apollyon, this beast, this lawless one, is the embodiment of a spirit that we could call humanism. Already today, the scripture says, the spirit of lawlessness is at work in the world. He was in the beginning. This spirit of humanism is a religion. It is the religion of man worshiping man. It's not actually this demon creature that the people of the world will worship. The scripture says they will worship his image. An image is something that you put up in front of the people so that they can see it. I don't think people will worship a demon all around the world. But they will worship an image. His image is a philosophy. Already this image is popular in all the nations of the world. It's popular in communism because this spirit of humanism says that man is evolving, that man is getting better and better through his education until one day he will become like God. It is the number of man and his greatness. You notice we read at the end of this portion of scripture, it said, he who has wisdom, let him have insight and understand. Calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. That's the number of humanism. Humanism says not that God is the center of everything, but that man is the center of everything. The religion of humanism says that man will become God by his own means, by his own education, by the process of evolution. It says that man can do anything he wants to do. It is a lawless kind of reasoning that it embraces. It says it's okay to kill a child in the womb. The spirit of humanism says you can even have that child halfway out of the womb and kill it. The spirit of humanism says that you can do anything you want as long as it doesn't interfere with somebody else. So if you want to be involved in perversions and dark things, humanism says that's okay. The religious places for this spirit of humanism to be propagated are the universities of the world. The high priests of humanism are the professors in our liberal colleges and universities. Their main doctrine is the teaching of evolution. Many universities will not allow you to become a teacher, a professor in that university, unless you are extremely liberal, unless you have all of the humanistic ways about you. Already, the world has this mindset. If you live in a communist country before 1989, it was known in those countries that they did not believe in any God, but man is God. If you go to capitalism, to countries even like the United States, if there are people here who don't have a strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will believe in the pursuit of happiness. They will work to make more money. They will just develop themselves as human beings. And that seems very innocent. But there's a thread that is often woven in this called humanism. And it says we don't need God. There's a battle today to get God out of government, God out of schools, God out of the public places. In some countries in the world, it is forbidden for politicians to say things like God bless you at the end of their speeches, because that's not humanistic. The spirit of humanism is the same spirit of Antichrist. And when this evil Apollyon is finally released from the abyss, his task will be very clear. His number is 666, the number of man. And he will come with fresh power to bring the world into a new level of humanism like we have not known. Even in our lifetime, those who are listening to this message, in your lifetime, this humanistic spirit has just grown and grown and grown in the nations of the world. It wasn't so strong in the days of your grandparents. But when this beast is released, he will come with horns and heads. And they will be his governmental kings. And they are demons as well. And they will have under them myriads of demon spirits. And many of them have already been involved in the systems of the world to bring every part of society to humanism, to the philosophy and religion of humanism. It has been the work of the age, the present spirit that is in the world. And when Apollyon is released, he will come with such power that this network that is already in place will just go to a whole new level of darkness and debauchery and man worshiping man. The image of the beast is humanism. That is the image he will portray. And it's not hard to believe that the whole world will worship the spirit of humanism, because the world is already worshiping the spirit of humanism. In most corners of the world, the spirit of humanism is the reason why we don't have people in our churches, especially in places like Europe, where just a few hundred years ago, Christianity was so popular that whole nations called themselves Christians. And now their churches are empty, and most people don't have a real strong faith in the God of the Bible, but in its place, there's a mixture of witchcraft and humanism. And it is so rife in the nations of the world. The scripture says at that time that this leader of humanism will say, unless you worship the image of humanism, you will not be able to participate in commerce. You will not be able to sell things or buy things. And you will have a stamp on your hand and on your head. I don't know exactly how that will work. It may be a tattoo. It may be some kind of implant. But if it is, that is just symbolic. It is really the mindset that is the mark of the beast. And already people have the mark of the beast. When the scripture says that you can have the mark of God on you, or you can have the name of your God on your forehead, you're not going to have a tattoo that says God on your forehead. You're not going to have an implant in your skin that says you are a Christian. You know that. What it means is that you have the mind of Christ. You have a worldview that makes Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you his faithful disciple. Well, people who have the mark of the beast, whatever they have on their hand or on their head, is just a symbol of a much deeper plague, a malaise within them, a world view that says, we will worship man, we will worship humanism. And I think there will be a no tolerance kind of program that will be in the world at that time. And it will say, unless, kind of like becoming a citizen of the United States of America, you pledge allegiance to the flag, and you have to make an oath that you will behave yourself, and that you will honor, and that you will walk properly as a citizen of the United States. At that time, when the beast starts to rule, you will not see that evil spirit, but you will see the leaders of the world all coming together in peace and harmony and in this spirit of humanism. And if you want to function in the world, If you want to use your credit card at a store or whatever, in order to get those things, you will need to pledge allegiance that will say that you believe in humanism, that you believe in all of the things that humanism stands for. Just like today, when students go to a university and they try to write an exam and they say that they are pro-life, many times they would get a bad mark or on their exams because their professor is not pro-life. You know, if you don't come along with this humanistic kind of mindset, you will be somewhat persecuted, somewhat rejected. You will suffer because of that. At that time in the Great Tribulation, that kind of persecution will rise up to a place where they will not accept you as a citizen of the world unless the spirit of humanism is on you. That's the identity of the beast. He's the one who comes up out of the abyss and he rules the demonic forces on the world and he gets the world to stand together and worship his image, the image of humanism.